We've been going into the jail for a year and 3 months, and we kind of have had the privilege. You know, a lot of times the jail just has people that rotate in and out, and our jail is similar. But because of COVID, the system, there's a lack of workers, a lack of transportation. So the justice system even slowed down more. And there were men that should be in prison, men and women. They should be in prison, but they were like held back. So there's literally been several men that's been up at the county jail for several years. And let me tell you something. I don't know if you've ever been to the county jail, hopefully not on the inside. If you were, you were visiting somebody. Guys, our county jail is no joke. Like, I know it shouldn't be a joke, but like, if you over, you hit up in Henderson or you go over to Knox County, they got these new buildings, everything. They got a good system. It's super clean. Like, everything's just got an order, and you feel. Warren County's different. We've got a very, very old jail. Matter of fact, there's constantly talk about them building a new. But, you know, it's got to pass public vote, and it doesn't. But you walk in this place, guys, I'm telling you, you know, they don't get any, you know, usually a guy's pinned up in a cell. So sometimes they let him out like in a pod where three or four cells of guys can get out. And sometimes there's games to play. There's a TV out there. And, you know, and some people think, well, they shouldn't have that. Well, you don't understand really the point of jail. I know what you're thinking. Or if they're decent in behavior, they let them out in the yard for an hour a day. They get some sunlight. None of that is available to in Warren County. Guys that have been to prison and that come out and get in trouble and they put them in the Warren County jail, every one of them says the same thing. This is worse than prison. I'd rather go to prison. This up in here, it's depressing. It's dark. We don't get out. And you know, and then some of them, you know, you go crazy in there. You know how it is, solitary confinement. You know, these guys will go crazy and tear the place up. So we've had the privilege of going up there, and for a while, we knew there was going to be the same guys there every week. There was just a handful of them, but we knew they would be there. Therefore, you know what we had the opportunity to do? Disciple them. Several of these men have went through the first five lessons of discipleship. And like, you'd come in the next week, they'd have their answers filled out. They'd have questions. And like, you know, and you just had to look past that this dude killed somebody a year ago. Really, that's on him. And we don't know the circumstances. We don't usually know why they're in there. And we don't ask. We're in there to deliver the word, to deliver light, right? I'm no judge. I'm no jury. I'm no attorney. You know, we just go in and preach the word. And so I guess I wanted to share something with you. One of our guys that we have been connected with for several years, he finally, they sent him away for to prison, and he's written us four letters. He's been to two different prisons. He finally landed in his home for a couple years, the one he'll be at. But he writes letters, and he's just like, guys, my life has been forever changed. He talks about discipleship, and he says, could you please hook me up with some sort of study? I don't have access to the internet at this particular place, so is there a study I could take? Because the rest of my life, I think I need to deliver God's word to inmates. I want to be in the ministry. Would you help me? And we're like, no. Yes, we'll help you, dude. And so we've been writing back and forth, and we keep this relationship up with him. And Bo's done some homework, got a hold of, some of you remember Gene Pirtle, who did jail and prison ministry in the KC area for years. And but anyways, you know, and guys, you know, he's as guilty as you and me are. You know, we're all born in sin, right? But Jesus has changed this dude's life. Well, there's another particular man. I always called him the Godfather up there because everybody submitted to this guy. He was an older man, but he'd whip anybody's tail. I've always thought, man, I do not want to fight him. I'd fight one of these young guys over this guy. But because he's been to prison several times, been in the county jail, and he runs the show. And I say that, and it's not in a good way necessarily, but he does. Like, you go up there now, the place is filthy. When he was up there, it wasn't filthy. He made the young guys toe their line. Pick that stuff up. You're going to wipe down this. He'd get out some, they'd give him some cleaner, and they wipe down the bars. And it was like spotless when he was there. And now that he's gone, it's gross. I went in there the other day, and I stood with my guitar, and I'm like, whose potato chips are these? And like, then somebody took soap, and they whittled like a whole bar of soap and threw it all over the floor. And there's over here, somebody threw their last meal over on the wall. And, you know, and so you feel bad, but they're all the younger guys and the older guys and the guys that went off to prison, you know, when that's their home, they kept it clean. These younger guys, we feel like we're fathers. Like you go in there, we're like, who did this? And a guy who just got saved here like 6 weeks ago, that was me, man. They wouldn't do what I wanted to do, so that's what I did. We had to say, okay, let's level with you here. The basics of Christianity, right? You're in the Word, you know Jesus. Dude, Christians don't behave this way. You've been living this way your whole life. And you got to knock it off. I'm no guard. You can, you know, not listen to me or whatever. But guys, it's interesting watching these guys, man. And just put his head down and he knows. You know, and we just, so one thing I just appreciate about what we get to do there is we get to build relationships. Like we go in and sing, we preach a message, and that's all great. But what we usually do is stay then. We stay for another, you know, sometimes 30 minutes to an hour, and we have conversations. And that's where the good stuff happens. Matter of fact, I've been there before over here chatting with guys. We're talking about football. And I look over and Bo's praying with the guy leading him to Christ on this end of it. I mean, it's like that stuff happens, you know. And so anyways, there's this Godfather guy that he finally went to prison for the third time. We've tried to connect with him. Bo tried to even go personally visit him. He won't visit his family. He won't let anybody in. He just draws the line, keeps his emotions totally removed from everything. This is how he lives his life. He wrote us a letter this week. We were like, what? So the writing's rough, not just because it's in cursive, because just to let you guys know, I can write in cursive. You know, I can do that. Hard to read, though. He says, Bo and Mike, he says, this is, of course, intended for Nate and Bob, because Bob and Nate's been up there quite a bit, a few times, too. And it says, hopefully you can read it to these guys. He says, I'm an old guy, and I'm old school ego, so I'm writing this in cursive. He says, Mike, I would apologize to you for not saying anything to you on that last Monday. I saw you. I should have told you I was leaving. But he says, I'm not very good at goodbyes. And he said, so I'm sorry. He said, what can I say to you guys? Thanks is not enough. It just doesn't convey my gratitude. You brought me the Word, and we know the Word is life. The fellowship, the uplifting things we talked about, the wonderful music. Yes, even that time Bo came alone and played the guitar and he said, and I even sang. He said, but the Word, man, the Word is it. It's what I truly needed. I believe that he sent you there for me and for that purpose. I don't know about the other guys that came through that cell block on Mondays, but I know God wanted the Word brought to me. He says, I'm here at another correctional facility. And he says, I've been here for a couple months. And he says, let me look here. This one's hard to read. He goes, I'm part of this program here. He goes, and they have a decent church here. He said, it's interdenominational. He says, I just have to pick through the good stuff. He said, listen, the real meaning of this letter is to say thank you and to let you know that I get it. He said, I know what I'm supposed to do. He's the thing you guys made clear from us stuck. He goes, it's discipleship. I will spread the Word. I will give my testimony. I will be zealous for our God. I will do all I can to spread the Word, the good news. Christ is risen, and I'm going to grow in church. He said, I look forward to walking into church and seeing my brothers in Christ. My first Sunday out, I will come. And he says, if you look me up on the internet, he says, don't laugh because that photo's rough with my hair and beard. He goes, but I got it all shaved off now. And he just said, always, Randy. I wanted to read that to say, we don't get very many perks. You haven't seen very many people come from there. And by the way, you wouldn't know if we met them in the jail. You know, they'd be, hey, want you guys to meet my friend. I met him in the county, you know. That ain't going to happen. One guy even said, hey, man, would I be allowed in your church? I said, well, sure you would. He goes, I just didn't know if people know. I was like, how are people going to know? Unless they read the paper 8 months ago and read your thing. We're not walking around telling your story. And besides that, you've met Christ and you're changed and we need you to grow, you know. So I guess I want to let you know that, you know, we go to the homeless shelter in Galesburg and they've extended a little bit of an opportunity. Like they're saying, we need some discipleship here. We need some help. And then we've been in the county jail. And I just want you to know, this letter, I get emotional because every Monday, sometimes I reluctantly pack up my guitar, reluctantly go into boats. I mean, I don't really want to go today. Because sometimes you go and there's only a few. We've had it crowded before. It's a mess. And you know, and then you got to go to this other side. And there's one side of the jail where they keep really sexual deviants, man, perverts over there. And sometimes we were asked to go over there and do a little service. They won't let them guys mix with the other people because somebody would lose their life. And so we go over there, and at first you're just like, and it's even more gross. Like, it's more dirty physically. But by the time you're there and you sing a song, Bo opens the word, like, it gets emotional because these guys hate themselves. They don't want to be there. They really want to change. And so we're bringing the change agent. What are we going to do? Tell them to go through rehab and try harder? That don't work. We all know that does not work. You know, you're not going to try harder and get victory over this type of thing. But we know that Christ, and just to tell them that the Lord loves them. Now, I don't tell them that I'm struggling loving them, but Jesus don't. He ain't 1 ounce intimidated by their wrecked lives and their sin and their bad choices. But church, I just want you to know, this is what it's really about for you and me, everywhere we're at, to shine the light of the word. And it does make a difference. It does make a difference. And by the way, this particular guy here, you would not believe how influential he is amongst his people. He's known all over this town. People know him, and he's a leader. And I have faith that if he comes out and plugs into the word, man, we are going to see some change. We're going to see some great things. So anyways, church, I hope that was a blessing to you and Bo and Nate and Bob. And I think it's a worthy investment. But guys, it's one of those ministries where we're probably not going to see a ton of results, at least quickly. And I'll tell you what, we've said it many times before, because when we met Bob Berry was in the homeless shelter. I was like, if it takes 10 years of doing this every week, and every 10 years we get one Bob Berry, I'll do it every week. It's worth it. It's worth it. And guys, the football players from Monmouth College came in this week. They came in Wednesday, and that's been really, really fantastic. Just to be around men, and you know, they went through a COVID season and had one year they didn't play, and then that year they didn't play, so now the freshmen jump up to sophomores, but since they never had a good football season, they're like freshmen. So last year it was like having two classes of freshmen. Boy, that was rough. And the leadership this year, it's really different, and I'm really thankful. Yesterday we started, and guys, it's no joke. Like, it's no joke. Yeah, we're doing team building and doing fun things too, but like, they listened to my story. They know I'm a pastor and a preacher. And Coach Braun says, hey, you know, for 2 weeks they're going to be busy at camp, but like, we'll go do a chapel service tonight. And it won't be long. You can't, you know, it's a different setting for sure. And you got to be careful how you do that because, you know, you can't force that on a bunch of guys. But God's word has already been brought forth, man. We've already, like, I mean, it was just cool even yesterday. Like, I make everybody like hold hands and get up, and I said, it's team building, hug and kiss somebody, you know. And we all hold hands, and I'm just like, I'd like to pray for us. And if you don't like to pray, you don't have to. But if you would give me allow me to do that. Even if you don't believe, I get it. And I'm okay with you not believing. I want you to. But seriously, everybody's just super respectful. Then at the end, a prayer happened again. But this time, it wasn't me. And like, one of the team leaders came right up, and they started praying. He's like, phew. And I look around, and like the whole team on their own started hugging and touching each other. And like, I was like, whew, it's a good environment, I think. So I'm really excited this year for the college ministry. And Sam Phillips has done, FCA really last year, the year before they did a little Bible study. And now that he's married and we have Natalie, I'm really hopeful this year. I'm filled with faith that like God is going to deliver on his promises. I think this is going to be a serious fruitful year in that ministry. I believe that. Like, it's just set up to do that. I'm having players just say, hey man, when we do an FCA, I'm like, talk to him. Sam runs FCA. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Today, it's the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to talk to you about the way. The way. Guys, I had a privilege of going, I went to a leadership conference last week in Chicago, and I heard there was a movie premiere, like this movie that was going to be coming out really soon. And they said, you can go out here. And so I got on there and I'm just like, I want to go. I scored two tickets. I never been to a movie premiere. And I thought, like, Ron Howard, who directed this movie called 13 Lives, I thought the dude was going to be there. I was like, I'm going to shake his hands, man. Happy days, man. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and love him. This guy's a great movie producer. And they actually had him on video. So, but still, it was a cool opportunity. But the reason I want to share it with you, and I'm not going to share everything about this because they have released the movie. Instead of doing it like a typical movie, they released it on Amazon Prime. It's on now. So I just want to encourage you. This movie is a winner. This movie is called 13 Lives, and let me tell you a little bit about the background behind it. I think you'll recognize it when I talk about it. It was June 23rd of 2018. There were 12 boys on this junior football team. Or of course, it'd be soccer. And what they did is after a practice, they decided they were going to go explore the Tom Long Cave. And when the team... The parents were organizing a birthday party. After practice, the team went to, you know, do this cave, and their parents were putting together this party, and all of a sudden there's no children showing up to the party. And so they decided they would go look for them, and when they went to the caves, they found the boys' bikes at the entrance of the cave. So immediately they called the alert emergency service because at this point in time, there was like it's a rainy season there, and it was just a massive flood. And so when the boys were in there, they didn't know what was going on. They went in and there was areas of the cave so flooded they couldn't even get through. Because, you know, this cave's going underground and it's miles and miles underground. These kids are just having a good time. And so anyways, this got so big so quickly that if you'll remember this on the news, this is Thailand. And the Thai has a whole Navy SEALs group and they called all these guys in to find these missing boys. They hired professional divers and they would dive and come back and just say, it's impossible. I just don't know if we can really find them. And so Vernon Unsworth, he's a local guy there. He was a British caver. He shared his knowledge about this cave. He knows all about it with people. And so what he did is they found this, the Rescue Council of Britain sent two guys over, these specialists, and they said, we think we could do this. So they sued these guys up, and from the entrance of the cave, these guys are hours into this dive, and they found the boys. They found them. But now there were divers, and by the way, this dive was so intense, and this rescue was so amazing that like one of the Navy SEAL divers died. Like he lost his life. So once they found these men, they look at their oxygen tanks and they're like, how do we get them out? These are kids. There's 13 boys in here with one of their younger coaches. How are we going to get these guys out? So this whole movie is called 13 Lives. They called people from different continents, people from all over the world, the local people, and the rain kept coming and coming. And guys, it was so intense that they were like, okay, here's what we need to do. We can divert some of this water that's going into this cave, and the water's rising and rising. Now, the boys found a spot in there. They were doing pretty good. But they have no food, man. They have nothing. And this rescue mission went on for days and days and weeks. And so I can't give you the part that's super touching, how they finally figured this thing out. But they went on an incredible rescue mission, people from all over the world. The local people, there was farms around there where people had farm ground. And this is their livelihood. And even when they have great years, they don't do well. I mean, this is Thailand. It's a rough economy. And they talked to all the farmers and said, we need to divert all this water from going into the cave. The problem is, we're going to flood all your land. You won't have one crop this year. Their crops are up like this. And man, every one of these people said, man, to rescue those boys, you can go and take it all. And so the movie's just a real adventurous, man, real moving. And what I love about the movie is it just, to me, it's a beautiful picture of the greatest rescue mission that we know personally, that God decided to rescue the lost human heart. And all this pictures that, that God went through great extremes and he sent Jesus Christ to die for the entire planet just to rescue the souls of people. That he would take a young man from Florida and hook him up with a college football team in Monmouth, Illinois, to come to sit in a chair just to have people tell him that God loves you so much he gave his son for you. The rescue's on. That's why you're here. What in God's name? That's right, because this is what it's all about. And so, hey, watch the movie, but may the movie motivate you to say, what extremes would I go through? These divers, I mean, you're talking about professional divers are saying, we have never taken on a six-hour dive. And so they're literally rescuing people, going through this whole bit, and it's just a disaster. They're losing sleep, but they got to sleep. So all the professional divers are like, man, I hope them guys don't die, but we better sleep for a few hours or we're not going to be able to make the dive. It's so intense. And it just, guys, what God did for you and me in rescuing our soul. Every man's born in sin. The Bible says people are born and they're lost. And Jesus Christ is the way. That's what he says. I like that in John 16 where they're just like, well, man, you know, how do we know the way? And Jesus says, it's me. Don't think the way is just a certain path. You got to do this and do that. And that'll come later. But the way is Jesus. The way is a person. People need to know Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, here's the hard part about this. Without Jesus Christ, the Bible says when men and women die and they face God, God Almighty, a holy God, and they stand in their sin, they will not make it. You know, you don't hear very many people talk about hell or talk about like an eternity in the lake of fire. God's word talks about it. Matter of fact, it's talked about actually more than heaven. Judgment and destruction are talked about. It's almost like God's saying, here's the warning, man. I'm throwing out the warning here. Our friends, our neighbors, and our family members. And I know you don't want to, man, I'm just not going to go into work. I don't want people to think I'm preaching at them. How about you don't give a crap what people think and rescue human hearts? Eternity's at stake here. And we got all these excuses on why we're not doing. You know what it reminds me of? This whole thing reminds me of the Titanic. And you remember the Titanic, it's 1912 when that boat went down. Here's what's crazy about it. They sent three messages to that boat and said, watch out for icebergs, three times. But nobody really took it that serious because they didn't pass it on to the next shift of people. They never sent the warning out to people who needed to hear it. And the results were, guess what? 1,500 people lost their lives on that boat. Wouldn't somebody just pass the warning on? You are in dangerous waters. Be careful. They didn't pass that on. And then you know what makes it even worse? There's another tragedy to that story, the lifeboats. They had lifeboats all around, and it was designed to carry people away from the sinking ship. Did you know all the lifeboats were only half full? People who made it safely in the lifeboats, you know, they did not want to turn that boat back around and pick up drowning people. People were screaming their guts out because they were drowning in that freezing water. And they did not want to take the risk because panicking people, if too many of them grab this lifeboat, they're going to flip it over and we're all going to die. So the people that were saved and safe, they just kept going on, hearing the cries of 1,500 people take their last breath, their last scream, and then they were on this frozen cold water and it was dead silent. The folks who were saved, they did not go back and take the risk. So people didn't pass on the original message about the iceberg thing. And I guess I just think of this. Sharing the gospel has risks with it. People are not always going to like us. Who wants to be rejected? Nobody likes rejection, right? Nobody. Be made fun of. People say all kinds of weird things. One guy yesterday goes, hey, preach. I looked at him and said, preach? He goes, I don't know what to call you. I was like, I guess I'll take that. You know, I'm not sure that was a compliment. As much as, you know, I'm supposed to be doing team building, and they're like, you're preaching at us. Oh, okay. The risk of being questioned, what are your coworkers going to think? What are your neighbors going to think? Guys, all of that stuff is just risks that we need to take. I don't want to go down in history and it be said of me. How would you like to be one of the persons that made it and lived? The rest of your life, you're going to have nightmares. The rest of your life, you're going to have regrets of what you maybe could have done, you know. You'll hear those screams the rest of your life. I don't want that to happen. Hey, church, Jesus Christ is the way, and the world needs to know. Being a Christian is pretty simple. Jesus Christ has done all the work. So becoming a Christian, now living the Christian life, I'm not going to tell you that's simple. It's difficult. But I'm telling you, becoming a Christian and meeting Jesus, people have messed up this Christian life. You know, because we always end up looking at the people that are like, man, they're square. You know, I don't want to be like that. You know, you go into most churches, they start their music, and you're just like, I don't like that. You know, not any. I've been to churches before that not only have bad music, but I've been to churches back in the day where they play bad music, and then at the end of church, you're like, and by the way, our church quartet is selling their cassettes outside. I'm like, I don't care if it's $1.25. I ain't buying one. I don't want, that's everybody's jamming on the way to church, and then you go into church, and everybody acts like they enjoy that. Hey, and don't get me wrong, I like good music, and I've actually been to several concerts of quartets because if they're fantastic, I just like good music. So I don't care if somebody's playing the piano. Me and my wife enjoyed the Galesburg Orchestra. We went over there, and I liked that. I was good for 30 minutes. Then it started repeating. I'm like, this is the same thing over and over again. I was wanting somebody to come out and belt one out or something, you know. But that didn't happen. But we enjoyed it while we were there. And so you know what we need to do, church? We need to rescue people. People don't know. The last couple generations are not really churched. We've moved away from that. They're saying that there's a ton of missionaries from other... America used to be the missionary-sending country. They're saying that's slowly fading away. Like there's other countries that are aggressively sending people to other lands to give them the good news of Christ. When it used to be America, but we have been lulled to sleep. We're becoming the sleeping giant, you know, and we are accepting all cultures. The Bible is slipping away. And so we call this postmodern Christianity. That's just where we're at. And what we need to get back to is the simplicity of Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Guys, I didn't know which way I was going until I met Jesus. And my mom, when she got pregnant as a young girl, she, through a neighbor, ended up meeting Jesus Christ. And so I was introduced to church before I could even remember. I was just this young. My brother was a little bit older, so he really seen some of the changes take place. And so, but for me, I grew up under this. And I'm so thankful. I heard the stories, and I watched it, and I observed it. But I knew something was wrong. You know, I knew my dad didn't go to church. There was some brokenness there. And guys, I could tell, I got like 10 stories from when I was a little boy that... It's just one of those things where you're young and you don't really know anything about life, but you know something's wrong. And I remember that clearly. One of my vivid memories, and this is, it might seem kind of silly to you, but it's not silly to me. I was pretty upset this day. We never took family vacation. We just never had money. We lived in the pride. Never. Never. Like, we did not go on family vacations. And, in fact, I had another pastor tell me after I had my children. Well, my first child, I had another pastor that says, you guys don't do vacations? I'm like, no, who has money for that? He's like, well, let me tell you what you need to do. And he introduced me to camping. He goes, Mike, it's not what you think. It don't have to be that expensive. You need to get away from routine. And he worked me on it. And you know what? That same year, I took his advice and we went. And we've had some of the best memories. I drove down to Florida. I had a little bit of money. I drove down to Florida in a van that lost its cruise control. So I'm 16 hours on the road, and we had no money for a hotel. So I go down there, and I remember setting up a tent on the beach. It was the best vacation ever, man. Like, I was like, holy night, the evenings. I'm like, man, it's chilly. Let's light a fire, man. The whole thing was just absolutely beautiful. And then I found one of those timeshare things where people are like, hey, you give us 2 hours of your time, we'd put you in a hotel over here and give you a free meal at this restaurant. I'm like, I'm in. So I walked through the whole thing, and I sit down at the end, and they're like, okay, what do you think? You want to buy into this thing? I was like, nah. I said, I'll just take my two hotels and that dinner. And this lady goes, it don't work that way. I'm like, what do you mean it don't work that way? That's exactly the way you said it should work. I'm going to go get my manager. Then this mean old lady came out and sat down. And, you know, we're just young sitting there, you know, and this lady starts giving me the business. You came in here and used us knowing you were going to take this. And, man, I was up off that table, man. I was fired up. I was like, you invited me on this journey. I didn't come here. You're the one that asked me to come in here and do this whole thing. I said, give me my hotel and you can join me for dinner if you want to. You know, and that's what we did. And, but why did I tell that story? Does anybody know? Because I've lost my mind. What's that? Thanks. Yeah, I got caught up on my vacation, you know. I'm thinking of Jimmy Buffett, the beach, the whole thing. But I remember once my mom and dad were fighting, and they just said, and my mom goes, "You never take us anywhere." And my dad has a real, my dad don't go in public. Matter of fact, it made me cry when I went back to Ohio, a church invited me to preach. My dad came in the back door and it wrecked me because my dad just don't go out in public. We never went out to eat as kids. If we ever, he took us to McDonald's a couple times that I remember, but he would always take us at a weird time at like 3 p.m. And my mom said, well, that's because it's empty. Now we'd order pizza, stuff like that, you know. But so my mom was yelling, he never does anything. And all of a sudden they decided that my dad goes, okay, I'm going to take you guys to get ice cream. And we were like, what? Ice cream? You know, we were all fired up and we got in this this big old Buick, man. You didn't have to wear seatbelts back then. And I'm pretty small, you know, I'm standing up a lot in the back, you know, I'm after it, you know, we're getting ice cream. And I had ice cream before. It's not like, but I usually had it when we won a baseball game. And like a couple times a year, the coach would say, I'm going to buy you guys ice cream tonight. And of course, I'm like, what? Ice cream? You know, so we're going to get ice cream, and my mom ordered a large twist cone. I don't know if you've ever seen what a large twist cone looks. It's massive. Like, it's a weapon. And me and my brothers are eating ice cream in the back, and my dad takes off down Kenmore Boulevard, and it just recently was paved, so it was pure black and nice. And we're going around this bend, and my mom and dad continue the argument. And my mom's like, well, I'll tell you, you can do it with this ice cream cone. And she told my dad totally where he could shove it. Well, we're kind of used to that. We had a loud family. And so me and my brother in the back seat, we're just like, you know, it's another Tuesday, you know. And all of a sudden, my mom rolls down the window. That's how you used to do it back in the day. And she rolled down the window, and she took this fresh ice cream cone, barely licked, and she threw it out. And I was like devastated. I got up on the back seat, and I remember looking and in the road, and I just watched this ice cream sitting on the pavement, and I'm just pulling away. But in my little heart, I was like, something's wrong. Family ain't supposed to be this way. Like, it was totally like broken. And it wasn't until now. My mom knew Christ and she took us to church. But I went to this church camp. And guys, I had a guy convince me. He wanted me to compete in the Mr. It was actually a state competition, but eventually go to the USA competition in bodybuilding. I had a guy convince me of this. Because I like to lift. I had my own weights down the basement, but I needed help. I like to play football. I actually wanted to be big and strong. I didn't want to be one of those guys that have to wear the Speedo out there and this. I was embarrassed to that, you know. But the guy goes, dude, seriously, I can have you competing in probably a couple years at least. So he convinced me, and I paid all this money. And I was my dad had to get third shift. He'd pick me up on school days, and he would drive me to this gym, which was only about a 30-minute drive, maybe 25-minute drive. And every morning, and I'd meet this professional bodybuilder, and this dude was massive, man. And all of a sudden, he met me there the first day, and then he never showed up again. And my dad made me pay for all of it. I was in the ninth grade, and I saved up $450, and I gave this guy $450, and he never showed up other than the first day. So I still went to the gym. I still had enough to do, and I knew the routine, and so it was nice. And I remember my dad would lay on an inclined bench, and he would take a nap because he had worked all night. And I'd be over there doing my thing, you know, and every once in a while I'd need a spot. Or make a long story short, my dad, it was that year that he became disabled. My dad became crippled, and they took his license from him. So I not only paid $450 to a guy that never showed up, but I got this membership at a gym, and now I couldn't drive. And it was all in this time frame. And then all of a sudden, I got my license. You know, we're talking about like 6 months later. Two-a-day football camps were coming up, so I was getting ready to go to that. And all of a sudden, my mom delivers the news, and she says, boys, I can't buy school clothes for you this year. So you're going to have to get after it, you know. I was like, okay. So I'm thinking through all of this. And finally, in the midst of it, I go to the very first day of football camp. And that night, a friend of mine, Wesley Dobbins, I got into more trouble with this guy than any other guy on the planet probably. And Wesley comes up to me and goes, Mike, listen, I went to church camp and it changed my life. He said, I think you need to come. It's Monday. Guys, I knew God was working on me then. I knew I wasn't going to play football. I wasn't even thinking of college. If you want the truth, I was not going to go to college. My family just didn't do that. We always worked in factories there in Akron, the rubber capital of the world. My brother was a machinist. You know, I was thinking that way. I love carpentry stuff. I was going to go into that kind of thing. And anyways, it was that day that I quit football. I had a little window of time, and I went to church camp. I'm barely into church camp, and I hear God call my name. He said, I'm the way. This is the way you need to go. Not the way your family, not the way I'm calling your name. And here I was. At this point, I was in church, but I knew, man. But that night, I remember, it was the month of June of 1985 that I'd realized I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And I came forward. I walked up there and I met Jesus Christ. And the rest is history, man. God has been so completely faithful to me. But I knew I couldn't do much with my life other than telling people about the way. There's a way that changed me. And there's a reason why I'm a preacher, because it gave me even more of a platform. And I could always talk about the word and a relationship with Christ and put it out there. There's nothing else I could do with my life. And Christian, I want you to know that we've got a great responsibility of sharing the gospel. A world that's filled with bad news. Isn't it amazing? We just went through a horrible, presidential election, the COVID thing. We were all just so confused, and it's so messy. In a time when it was just like, more bad news, more bad news. And the whole time we just kind of forgot that we're holding the good news. We're holding the ticket, right? This is the golden ticket to Hollywood, man. We got it. It's the gospel that Jesus Christ gave his life, bled and died and resurrected. If you meet him in by faith, the real problem is not what we see around us. The real problem is what's inside of people. That spirit is dead and it needs to be made alive. And it can only be made alive when people meet Jesus Christ and he'll take up residence inside of their heart. It's an inside problem. So it's our job, church, to share the good news. Have we lost sight of the good news? Have we lost sight of it? There was a time when I was really, really passionate to get people to hear it. And I would tell it to strangers. If I was in a place, I'd be pumping gas, man. And there'd be a guy who kept looking over at me like, well, he keeps looking at me. So, hey, partner. And I would just share it. You know, Dan tells a story. You're working at somebody. Do you really think you're just putting in a few cabinets for an old lady? No, I'm here for a different reason. Eternity's at stake. And if the life cycle works for her, she's on the edge, man. She's in the waiting room. She's going, you know, and Dan delivered the news. So church, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I guess today's message is I just want to encourage you to let people know the way. Don't forget the path that you're on and what you have. Sometimes we get around people and we're intimidated by them for whatever reason, you know. Because I'll tell you this much, I get around... Even so, we get some new football coaches. I get on some of these football coaches, and hey, it's intimidating. These guys know the game of football. And more than me knowing the game of football, I love the game of football. Like, I love it. But when you start talking about the details and strategy, like, I'm a student, man. I'm totally learning at that point because I really don't know football at that level. The only thing I coach is hurt guys. That's what I do. You know, hey, can you hug those guys over their hurt? You know, we don't want them quitting the team. That just ain't hurt. Get them back on the foot. Then I'd make them do push-ups. Then they're like, man, this is tough over here. I'm like, yeah, get back out on the field. That's my as far as my coaching goes. And but you know what I am there for? I might not know the game of football and the strategies behind it, but I know the creator of it all. I know the God of the universe, and I personally know him. He sent his son for me, and Jesus Christ lives inside of me. Now I got a relationship with him. That I do know. You know what I know? I'm an expert on happiness. I'm an expert on joy. I'm an expert at peace. I'm an expert on comfort. Because in the midst of all that going south, I got it. And so that's what I can offer. I just want to encourage you today. I'm going to take you to a passage in Luke chapter 10. But I want to encourage you today with something that Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ says this. He says, you know, we need to be salt and we need to be light. He says we need to be salt. We are the salt of the earth. Guys, and we all know what salt does, right? Salt has three big characteristics. What does salt do? Well, salt stimulates thirst. That's why bars give away free peanuts and free popcorn. Don't eat it. You are thirsty. You want to drink more. That's how salt spices things up, don't it? And you ever eat something real bland? You're like, man, these green beans need some salt. That's right. It adds excitement and taste, something that Christians don't do. No wonder people don't want to be Christians. Christians are bums. Christians are squares. Do they have any fun at all? No, we're praying again tonight for a couple hours. You know, well, that sounds all godly and spiritual. But where's the excitement? Where's the spice that Christ has brought to our life? You know, also salt, what salt does is it holds back decay. Do you realize the organization you work for, the family you're in, the neighborhood you're in? You might not even be in a very good neighborhood, but do you realize God has strategically dropped you there because you're like salt? You're going to hold back the decay. God's going to use you, and you're going to solely do that with good news. The good news is a representative of being salt, right? Salt, very potent. Salt is very, very potent. Have you ever had dumped too much salt on something? I have ruined things, especially when I was a bachelor. I'm like, a little salt's good. A lot of salt's got to be great, right? Not so much. And by the way, if you're supposed to be salt to the world, if salt is left in a salt shaker, and if it never comes out, then what is it? It's a table ornament. I had one grandma. She collected salt and pepper shakers. You know, and that was the thing. You know, people, we had Velvet Elvis hanging on the wall in grandma's house. Like, we had all the typical stuff. A panther, my uncle had a velvet panther in his room that I really liked, you know. And you ever seen a velvet picture of a naked lady? We had it at my grandma's house. And but she had all these salt and pepper shakers all over the house. And she had this cabinet set up with a mirror behind it. And you remember some grandparents had shot glasses from all over the place, you know. We had salt and pepper shakers. And I just thought, boy, this is worthless because we're doing nothing with them. They're just ornaments. They're dust collectors at this point. You ever think, Christian, if you're not a guy or a girl, I don't know what God is doing inside of you and inside of me. You know, that don't work for people, but people don't have that going for them. People are empty. People are lonely. People are lost. A lot of people, they're in a spot of a cave where they can breathe air. Oxygen feel like it's getting lower. The water's rising. They don't know how life is going to turn out for them. As you know, there was 13 boys in a cave just crying that somebody would come for them. This is how we should live our lives. I was once a little boy trapped in a cave. I'm free now. And you know what I want to spend the rest of my life doing? Deep diving to save other people. I want to show them the way. And wait till you see the way. If you watch this movie, wait till you see what they did. It will freak your mind out. It'll blow your mind. The second thing Jesus says is in Matthew 5:14, that we're the light of the world. So gang, you're salt. And your light, your salt. So remember, what salt do? It makes, do you stimulate thirst with people when people are around you? You know, people should be around you and say, man, that guy, that girl seems to have something that I need. Well, guys, it's Jesus. It's not like some radiant personality. It's Jesus in me. He's the comfort. He's the peace. Because remember, he's the way. The way, the truth, the life. That's Jesus. What about spicing things up? Adding excitement to wherever you're at. You don't want to just be the boring girl at work, do you? Or the boring guy. To have a little fun, I think you should bring spice wherever you're at. I love when I'm in a position and I'm saying, okay, guys, here's a question for you. I want to ask you something. What's the most proud moment in your life? Or you share a story and I'm like, okay, football team, get in groups of eight, da-da-da-da. What are you most ashamed of? And I'm walking around and almost every time someone would say, hey, Pastor Mike. I'm like, what's that? What moment are you most ashamed of? They're asking me because you know what? They know I'm bringing some spice, man. I'll bring salt on this conversation. One kid yesterday stood up and he goes, I don't know what I'm proud of. I'm not sure I have a proud moment. That's a question for you. If I asked you what you're most ashamed of right now, could you name things? He goes, I could name three things right now. I said, so you know what makes you ashamed, but you can't figure out what makes you proud. He goes, I guess so. I said, you're not alone. I just kind of walk away from him, leave him hanging, you know. And you know, I'm like, God, make that kid thirsty. May he say, man, something's wrong here. I got something in my life I can't fix. And remember, salt preserves and holds back decay. Believers, be like Joseph, wherever you stand up and wherever you work, whatever you're involved with, whatever team you coach, whatever your kids are in dance, all those things, make sure you're there and you're holding back the decay. If sin wants to rule and reign in evil, you're coming in with good news saying, not on my watch. That ain't going to happen. You don't treat people that way when I'm in here. And see, God will use you to hold back. The other thing is light. And we know what light does, right? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And he gave us the light. In the midst of our darkness, we can see. We illuminate things. Let's shed some light on the subject, would you? So when somebody wants to talk politics, I don't feel like I'm that schooled on it. So you know what I do? I always take any opportunity I can to be like, I don't think a Democrat or a Republican is going to fix this thing. But there is a king. Our whole government structure that we're under right now, a democracy, the way it works with everything in place and supposedly the accountability groups all through Washington, D.C. Yeah, the only way this is going to be fixed is when we go old school and we bring back a king. And he sits on a throne and he rules and reigns. That's it. That's what the Bible says. See, we bring light wherever we're at. And I learned that as a kid. When you turn the light on, you know what roaches do? They flee. They just do. Rats are the same way. Put a light on the subject. They're gone, man. And this is what we should do as Christians. We go into midst of darkness, people in their sinful lights, and we shine a light. So Christian, the message this morning is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. People need to know the way, and it's dark. You know, pull out your phone and hit the flashlight. Shine some light on the subject, right? Be a light. Let people know that the light is inside of me. The light is a person. When people are like, man, I just feel lost. People say that all the time. I just feel so lost. It's my favorite song that Katy Perry sings. I'm not a huge Katy Perry fan, but she does have a couple winners, man. And she sings a song and she does it. And it was never a big hit. She does it. I don't think it ever hit radio, but she does it in her, look, go to a live concert and type it in like on MTV, Katy Perry Unplugged. Listen to Lost. You'll cry because she basically just sings and she says, I'm broken and I can't fix it. I'm just so lost. My mom and dad were preachers and I still feel like I'm lost. My mom told me to pray. My mom told me to come back home. I can't because I'm lost. It's just like a song. I'm like, man, I hope one day I meet her in an airport. I'm telling you right now, I would love to share the good news with her. Share the image, and she might even know it, but shine some light into her darkness. This is what we do. Guys, I don't think we realize how lost people we are, how lost people are. Here's another thing I don't realize. I don't think we realize like how saved we are, how good we got it, man. We know the way. I know Jesus. Hey, my life ain't perfect. It's not perfect. We got trouble in our world. But in the midst of our trouble to have a foundation, most people don't have a foundation. We got it, man. We got it in the person of Jesus Christ. I will say, I'm a little bit of a sucker when I go to the county jail. I get sucked into it. You know why? Because talking to people about Jesus and religion and all those things, out and about and on the street, people think you're a buffoon. You go in there and a lot of times you got a group of guys just holding out a cup saying, could you fill this up for me? I'm like, you bet we can. I can fill it up with what I have. And it's Christ inside of me. I love going in and saying, I don't care what you've done. One guy just a couple weeks ago goes, I'm sure you've heard what I did. And I'm like, well, we know a little bit. But yeah, well, I don't know if you knew why it happened. And he starts talking. We're like, dude, I remember Bo said, don't care. But we care about you. We care about you and your soul. I don't know the details of your case. Done. This guy's taken the word. I said, I want you to know, I've texted my girlfriend. You can text in there now if you pay for it. It's another way the county can make a little bit of money. They got these, they're in there. They're not tweets, they're twerps. That's what it is. Chirps. That's what they are. They're chirping in there. And but he says, I just got a hold of my girlfriend. I told her, we will read the Bible together. They told me to read the book of John, and I want you to get a Bible, and we'll discuss it every night. We'll text back and forth, talk about what we got out of John. So I was like, dude, you're on it. You're on. That's what you need, because what you put in comes out, man. So church, let's use our words. Let's preach the gospel. The gospel needs preached. It's the good news, right? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, don't fool yourself. If you're living your life like the devil and you're going to preach about Jesus Christ, it's going to be futile, man. It's going to be worthless. Your actions do need to back up your words. You don't have to be perfect. People are not looking for perfection. That's Jesus, right? People are not looking for you to be the perfection or you to be perfect. And I learned that a long time ago. And, you know, people don't follow me because I'm always right. They don't. Most people follow me because they say you're real. I'm like, I'll take that compliment any day of the week because I know I'm not always right in everything. And so you don't have to be perfect, but we share about the perfect one. So use your words. Some of us don't do that. When's the last time at your workplace or people that you hang with, you've opened your mouth and say, hey guys, I got something to say here. And you tell them the story of Christ, or guys, I just need to tell you. And if you just, why about starting off this way? Hey guys, I feel bad, man. I've been around you for a while here, and I've never really shared with you the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. It'll get quiet, and they'll be like, what? And you got a small platform to stand up and say, I'm a Christian lady. I'm a Christian man. I met Jesus Christ. Here's what my life was, and here's what it is now. And some of them, not everybody's going to believe, but usually, you do it like that respectfully, people are going to be like, cool. Good for you. You know, they're not going to think that's bad. But remember this. A lot of people think, I just need to live a good life. Like, we think people are looking at us going like, oh, you know what? You know, like the football team's like, we want to be like Mike. Mike don't cuss. I'm like, boy, Lord, I'm thankful they never heard me. But really, good morals? Like, that's not it. So just remember, some people want to, like, live a good, clean life, and people be like, I just want to be just like her. Honestly, they think you're a snot. They think you're a square. They're not really wanting that. So get that out of your head a little bit, that you can just do these beautiful actions and people will come to Christ. They're only coming to Christ through the gospel, through you proclaiming and preaching the good news. That's what's going to happen. So remember that. If your action has no words, there's going to be no meaning. It'll be devoid, you know. And so just make sure we got to have both, but we got to preach and proclaim the gospel. And sometimes, guys, you have to even tell people, hey, man, I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. But I want to tell you that I met Christ and it changed my life forever. And here, I know it. And yeah, I still mess up. And that's when you can explain to people too, because people are like, Christians are hypocrites. Yep, we all are. I always tell people, you'll fit right into our church, dude. You're jacked up. You'll feel right at home with us. Because we know what's right and we don't always do it, you know. But Christ is always right. Christ is always loving. He's always forgiving. I would love for you to know him and meet him. You know, and the way your dad treated you was awful, man. But God the Father, man, he's perfect. And introduce him to Jesus Christ. So, gang, here's the message today. Jesus Christ is the way. People are lost. They need to know the way. People are drowning and alone. They have no answers. Guys, I'm telling you, I'm asking 18-year-old boys. I've been doing it for a couple days now. I'm asking them questions about life, and they're like, I've never thought about that before. Yeah, sometimes you got to drop the video controller and pop out the headphones. And I'll literally say, let's have a minute of silence. And you can just watch them. And it's like, man, this is an eternity. You know, any type of deep or self-reflection. That's right. The world, man, everybody's busy. I think that's the devil. The devil don't want to get everybody using meth, but he wants to keep everybody so busy. You're so, and they don't even think about these things. They're not even thinking about what kind of dad they're going to be, what kind of husband. These deeper things of life, they're really not even thinking. They're just living life. They don't know the way. We know the way, right? Amen for that. I know the way. I know Jesus Christ. It's the best. It revolutionized my life. I got to tell everybody about it. You know, in Luke chapter 10, we're not going to go there. I'm too late. read Luke chapter 10. It's just where Jesus Christ sends out the 70. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story. It's a beautiful story about them going out sharing. There's rejection in there. There's people that accept it. It's just very motivating to me when I read this passage of scripture that they were sent out and they had a real purpose. So, church, as you leave today, I'd like you to think about a couple things. Let's not be like the Titanic. Let's be a people that make sure we warn people. Tell the next guy up what's out there. Make sure the lifeboat, would you take a risk? Some of you are in this lifeboat and you've got the perfect family. You know what happens to perfect families? It gets messed up, man. I'm telling you, you can't live that way. You're not out to rescue people, so your little boat is pristine and perfect. And yet you can get more people on. It's so hard. You know, there was one Christmas that I remember. One Christmas, you know, Christmas is about family, man. And all of a sudden, it's Christmas and my phone rings. I'm like, man, this is my family. It's family day. Why do people call? And then I get on the phone, and it was a beautiful woman in our church that called and just said, hey, I called just because I'm lost. I just need to know the way. And December 25th, when we celebrate the birth of Christ, we also celebrate the birth of another great lady in this church that met Jesus Christ on Christmas Day, you know. That same day, I had a lady from the church come over to our house. And I wasn't happy about this one because I didn't know her at all. But let me tell you what it was. It's the same situation. She came in and just said, I need Christ. I was like, holy night. I'm so glad that we took our little raft boat and our little kumbaya time we had as a family and just said, come in. Come in. We've had Christmas. I don't know what it is about Christmas, but I had a couple that came over on Christmas Day. And my wife just said, well, you can eat breakfast with us. I was like, Becky, you're ruining Christmas. Christmas is about family. But they came in. They didn't even stay long. But I remember we talked a lot about salt, light, what Jesus could bring to them. And they were listening. And they never accepted Christ, but they walked away. And I was just like, does Christmas get any better than that? I got the privilege of giving the gift of eternal life to people. You know, instead of just somebody opening up some stupid pair of socks from that I got half price at Gordman's, you know. Good golly. Church, let's shine the light. Be salt. You got it in you. The purpose is to go out and show people the way. Leave today and say, who can I share the way with? What about you in here? Do you know Jesus? I would love to introduce you to him today. Take the Bible and can show you in God's word how you can meet Jesus Christ. Let's do this. Let's all bow our heads right now. I'm going to go ahead and do, I don't do this every week. I'm going to do a real formal invitation. This is old school invitation. This is how I met Jesus Christ. Guys, is there anybody in this room? I'm here to tell you, men and women, we're all born in sin, but there's a Savior that lights our way. There's a Savior that gave his life for you and me. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says our sin is going to lead us to death. And if you meet Jesus Christ, he'll give you eternal life. Have you ever placed your faith and trust in Jesus? This is not religion. It's not just empty religion. This is like real relational, like a God that's going to move inside of you and he's going to walk with you every step of the way. A God that'll come in and never forsake you, right? This God, guys, when I talk about it, I think, my gosh, this path I'm on, the way, knowing Jesus Christ, I feel like such a privileged individual. I feel like such a privileged man. So my question for you is there anybody in this room that you would say, I want to know Christ? There's something inside of me I always feel like, yeah, something's like missing. Guys, this is the missing piece. There's no air inside of there. It's the ball principle, right? It's a deflated football. It doesn't work very well. So meeting Jesus Christ, he'll move inside you, be like, that's it. That's it. So my question for you is there anybody in this room today that would want to raise their hand? We're all praying, man. Everybody be praying. Just anybody would just say, you know, I need good news in my life. I need the gospel. I need Christ. Is there anybody that just give my attention, man? Just raise my hand. I think there's quite a bit of people watching today at home. And so, man, maybe your kids are in the living room. Do some business with them. This is serious business. Do you know the way? Does anybody know? Do you need to know Jesus Christ this morning? Anybody? Don't think just religion cuts it. This is more than religion. It's a relationship. Like, Jesus Christ is not dead, man. He resurrected from the grave, and you can meet him. You want your sin dealt with? He'll take it. Anybody? Get my attention, man. We'll make sure you get hooked up. Anybody? And it's never late, man. When church ends, please come up and just say, I was struggling. I don't know why, but yeah, I want to talk. I'll hook you up with another lady that knows the Bible or another guy in this church that knows God's word and they can show you. And hey, guys, let's do this. Why are we always giving invitations at the end of a church service? Give an invitation on Monday morning. Give an invite for somebody that you know. And they might even just be going through a hard time. You can grab and say, hey, dude, I've been praying for you. I know you're going through a hard time. But also, I know this. Real life is found in Jesus Christ. He is the way. People, all the time, people say, man, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know where I'm at. I just don't know what's going to happen. It's Jesus. You need to know Jesus, my friend. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for us this morning. Lord, thank you for all the times, even as a kid, I just can see you were drawing me. The people you put in my life and the change that you, Lord, that you put inside of my mom. Lord, I wanted that. I was so drawn to that. The times you just put light into my life, into my world, you sprinkled salt, Lord, just enough, man, that you enhanced the flavor. And Lord, I was drawn. Lord, I was so thirsty. And so thank you for using all those things and all those people to draw me. God, and we're all thankful today for the people you used in our lives to draw us to you. And now I pray that we offer this invitation to other people. Lord, you're the way. This is even more than just a path. It's more than a bunch of to-dos. It's you. It's knowing you. Having a relationship with you. Thanks for living inside of me.